they done sat up there and unlied Master's son. I'm heard about that one. They done sat up there and unlied Charlie Kirk. That was one of Master's best sons. He always stood up for what's right. See, y'all gotta understand here. Master help us. Master take care of us. Master love us. You can't sit up there and celebrate nobody's death. They done hurt Master. When you hurt Master and you hurt Master's people, you hurt me. Because I live in Oz. I live in the slave house. And we love Master over here. Good Lord above don't like what y'all doing. Good Lord above don't like how y'all talking about Master's son this way. Y'all gonna get what y'all deserve. This ain't right. It ain't. Master ain't said nothing wrong. Master was gonna free us till y'all said something. That be y'all folks' problem. Y'all ain't got no reverend. Y'all ain't got no reverend for Master. But I's tell you what. I's gonna stand on all 12 feet for Master. I's gonna appreciate Master. I's gonna revolt about Master. That's how the fuck y'all sound.
Yeah, boy. This whole Charlie Kirk situation is really bringing out the ignorance between both races. The ignorance between both races. And I'll start with mine first. I'll start with my nation. Negro Christians are on TikTok talking about how we are going to be damned and condemned. And we have to answer to the Most High Yah. Of course, they said God. We have to answer to God or Lord because we laughed at Charlie Kirk's assassination. Now, I know before y'all even start that somebody's going to ruffle through the scriptures and bring up Proverbs saying, like, oh, you shouldn't laugh at your enemy's downfall, blah, blah, blah. But he didn't get killed. He wasn't assassinated. It was CGI. Most people already have exposed that it was CGI or AI. And I said this in a post a while ago when the movie Running Man was coming out. And I think I said it on one of these previous episodes. That they were going to use AI in the news and convince you that it was real. That was the whole point of the 1987 Running Man starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. The whole thing was about introducing AI. We didn't know what it was at the time when we watched that movie. You remember in the scene, or even the beginning of it, where they show you the real scene of him not firing on the people who were searching for food. And then they get to where they edited the version of it. And then they tell a whole completely different story. That's them editing the news, editing the truth to get you into your emotions to condemn a person. Then when they got to Arnold Schwarzenegger in the Running Man game, they wanted to kill him off. So what did they do? They had a stunt double, placed an AI filter over the stunt double, and then had Russell with the actor who didn't want to be a part of the final thing. So they made the whole last scene of The Running Man be about AI. We, at the time we watched that, we didn't know what AI was. We just watched it as entertainment. Like, oh, cool. They're going to use a stunt double and then convince us that Arnold Schwarzenegger's character really got killed off, but he didn't. And he comes out of the basement where they, you know, where he was hiding from them and kills the bad guy. But that was AI. And then they did a remake of The Running Man, a totally different angle. It didn't even about the AI. It was just about a man actually running through the city while people were trying to kill him. It was almost like The Warriors. If you know the old school classic, The Warriors, how they had to fight their way all the way home. It's kind of like that now. But I talked about that. And if you look at the video, you'll see there is like a black spot. It disappears. It's on his, if he was facing the crowd, it's on his right shoulder. And it disappears. And then after a while, the letter F, you see it disappear. Like the shirt itself isn't truly moving in a way that somebody was being shot. Like it ruffled and crinkled in a different way while he was just sitting up, sitting still. It was AI. They so good with AI right now. They have been giving you tests to see if you could spot it. That's why when we thought that the queen, not the queen, the princess, Princess Kate, we thought Princess Kate actually died. That was them testing how good their AI engine was. That's what it was. When she was sitting in the park and sitting on a bench, like very, very stiff and still, they wanted to see if we could pick apart the AI that they were using. That's what that was about. Now I understand it. That's what they were doing. They were trying to see if we could pick up the AI. It wasn't if it could fool the dum-dums. They knew they could fool them. But they wanted to send it out and see if the conspiracy theorists and the truthers were going to be able to pick it apart. So then when they come back, they can fix the things that they had pointed out. Except you can never truly make it 100% perfect. There's always going to be glitches in the system. There's always going to be little holes that you can find that you can exploit to make it work for you. But in this case, they showed you that they struggle with hands. The AI engines, every AI struggles for some reason with hands. If you look on his hand, he had a gold ring. And when he was shot and he was moving, the ring switched from his ring finger down to his pinky finger. That was a telltale sign it was AI. You remember when Will Smith had that fake concert and they pointed out that most of the people in the crowd were AI? That was them testing. That was just seeing if everybody knew. So if you look at the AI that they're using as jokes, memes, and something to laugh at, you wouldn't think it would be AI when it comes up to be something serious. That's why they introduce everything through comedy, through jokes, through laughing at it. Because if you look at something serious, you would never pinpoint if it was actually being AI because you're not laughing at it. That's why they use it. That's why they set it up that way. When people had old people making jokes and cracking jokes and these AI prompts and everybody's laughing and passing them around, that's what they wanted. They wanted you to make it a joke and something to laugh at because you wouldn't associate it with reality. So when they give you reality in AI, you'd be like, you would act like how people are acting now. Embarrassing, that's how people are acting right now. I had people unfollow me. I had people say I had CTE. I had people just going off on me and too stupid to understand that Charlie Kirk is a Freemason. You cannot have a platform. You cannot have a following if you are not managed by a Freemason. You cannot be in the presence of Donald Trump if your image and what you say is not managed. It's cringy. It's pathetic and cringy. So Negroes out here trying to defend, saying like, oh, all of a sudden they're fake righteous now. Like, oh, you can't be talking down on Charlie Kirk, because you're going to see God and he ain't going to like it. Please. The Most High going to laugh just like I'm going to laugh. And he going to use Proverbs 1:26 to 29 to do it. People are so worried about how they look on social media when they're trying to defend something that they don't know and don't realize they are twice as ignorant than the person that's doing the symbolism. And they don't even get me started on Europeans and white folks in this country. It's bad. Y'all swear like y'all want this civil rights era. It will never come. Y'all so desperately want a civil rights era. You so desperately want a Malcolm X or Martin Luther King because you think that you're being oppressed. The only thing that's oppressing you is your ignorance to this system, because this system has always worked for you. Always. You have always found justice in this system. You always have found a piece of rest in this system. Regardless if you're poor, if you're middle income, or if you hire a lower middle income, it don't matter. You have found justice in this system. You have found peace and rest in this system. You don't need no civil rights era. Grow up. But because you've seen Jews get it, because you've seen Negroes get it, now you want a piece of the victimhood. You want a piece of the victim card. If they really wanted to get this race war started, it should have been just some Negro that they in MK Ultra and have him do it, and so we can just get this race war over with. So we can separate the wheat from the tare, and we can get this party popping. I know it's not right to say biblically, because no one should want Yah to come in right now, and because no, he's going to turn this whole place upside down with us in it. But I really wish they get to the point. I really wish they would. People are already dumb enough to believe whatever they see on TV anyway. They're already dumb enough to believe UFOs and that we live on a globe Earth and it's a spinning ball, that the water don't never go nowhere, and it's a spinning ball, and people in Australia are literally upside down on this circular globe, and we just moving through space, mind you, seeing the same stars, seeing the same rotation, seeing the same, but we moving and rotating at the same time. I wish we just get this place over with. Watching people get dumber and dumber by the moment is truly prophecy, but it's getting dumber and dumber by the moment where you can't say nothing to them or nothing against them. They respond with jokes, satire, and insults because they're too stupid to see the truth for what it is. That man has thrown up devil horns. That man has explained himself through symbolism and explained himself by talking about the Talmud, the Jerusalem Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud. And while doing this, he's throwing up the devil horns, and it's all on Twitter. Yet people don't even see it. They don't even see that. He was answering a question from a guy who was wearing a sniper t-shirt in March. Fam, in March. The number March is 3. Now, I don't know what day he did this. It could have been March 30th. It could have been March 31st. I don't know. But it's 3. And Freemasons love 3, and they love the month of March because it has 3 in it. It's the best way to get 3-3. It's the best way to get 3-2-2. It's just, you see 3s a lot in that. And they predict the program everything for you. So you really got to be completely stupid or don't have any Ruach HaKodesh to not actually see it. There were so many 33s in this ritual that they really turned up 33s in the use of 33s, yet people still don't see it. So many people retweeting and reblogging and reposting Charlie Kirk feeling sad for him. Oh, he was for America. He stood up for us and da-da-da-da. As if he, like I said, as if he was white folks as Martin Luther King. Give me a break, man. Like he was really your Fred Hampton. Like I said, all they were doing is listening to what we were saying against certain doctrines like the civil rights movement. We were saying that. Negroes who are awakened were out there saying how the civil rights movement was garbage. And it all it did was disenfranchise black home ownership and black businesses. That's all it did. Us trying to be eating their stale food, their unseasoned food in their lunch diners, that we lost our dollar. We lost the currency that goes in and out of our neighborhoods. We disenfranchised ourselves trying to mingle in with the Dixiecrats. That's how it happened. Black families were broken down after we went into the Democratic Party. We were strong being conservative. We were strong by ourselves. But as soon as we thought that we needed their piece of the pie, we needed their jobs, we needed their validation, we needed to be more than 3/5 a man, that we mingled ourselves with them and we lost all of our worth. And that's what's happened. And that's what Yah wanted us to see. He wanted to show us, again, and even in our spiritual blindness, he wanted us, those who were going to be awakened in this generation, he wanted us to look back and say, this is what happened to you when you tried to mingle yourself with other nations. I will bless you if you stood by yourself. I will bless you if you stay within each other. I will bless you if you follow my way. But as soon as you don't want to follow my way and you want to chase after these other nations, they will eat you up because they don't want you to be over top of them. They want you always to be underneath them. Y'all haven't figured that part out yet. Y'all want to climb in this social ladder. You want to climb in this business ladder to get somewhere. To get where? To be mingled in with them more. And the more you successful in this world, the more they want you to be underneath them and belonging to them. So they'll keep feeding you and Hansel and Gretel you until you destroy yourself. Until you decide whether you're going to be for Yah or be for this world. Patel, the head of the FBI, he get up there with his crooked eye, his cockeyed eyed self. He get up there talking about, oh, it was 36 hours, which is 666. Then he says 33 hours to be precise. How you go from it was 36 hours and then is it under 36 hours and then say less than that, it was precisely 33 hours. Like, that's not even, that's like saying, that's if you knew the precise hour, why didn't you just say the precise hour? Why would you say under 36 hours, then say precisely 33? And then the, I don't know if it was the governor or the president of the university. I don't know which one. Whoever was the head, bald head white guy for Utah, he'd get up there and say the same exact thing, 33 hours. And he'd say it with a laugh while he'd turn to look at that Patel. Then say, oh, I wish it wasn't one of us. And we knew what he meant. Oh, I wish it wasn't one of us. I wish it was somebody that was from out of state. You know, maybe somebody from a different country. What? So basically, he said he wish he was somebody black or brown skin, who pretty much was a Muslim or Islam. That's what he was trying to get at. But they knew that this shooter they were going to use was going to be a white guy. Right now, this is just a starting point. It's a starting point to this civil war. That's why they so-called made this fake phone call threat to 7 HBCUs, which had to close down because of this whole Charlie Kirk situation. Because of this Masonic fake ritual, this fake psyop, that 7 HBCUs had to close down. When it was a white guy who supposedly assassinated Charlie Kirk. He was at a white, predominantly white college, and a white man so-called assassinated him. What does this have to do with HBCUs and us? Like I said before, they cannot let us leave out of here spiritually without being attached to them because of trauma. That's why I said you have to let go of this victim card that y'all didn't earn. Because all it's going to do is be used against you at the time when they want it the most. They want to get to this civil war. And the only way they're going to get to it is if they fool us into it. It's the only way. Nothing goes on in this country unless it comes by us. Nothing goes on. If they want something popular, I give you examples. Miley Cyrus. No one cared about Miley Cyrus until she started getting into black culture, what we thought was black culture, which is nothing but Jewish blackface, the Al Jolson of hip hop. When she started twerking and shaking her ass, that's when we started making her popular. Because now we like, oh, she's down with one of us. Let's invite her to the cookout. Post Malone, when he came out with White Iverson, we exalted him. We invited him to the cookout. And then what did he do? As soon as he got popular, he like Miley Cyrus, they went right back to their white selves. Post Malone went right into country. That was his next step. I mean, look at Travis Kelce, another Freemason. To make him popular, they made him date a couple of black women. No one cared who Travis Kelce was. You didn't even know the university he came from. You Negro women. None of you did. Until he started dating a black woman, then it was he invited to the cookout. And what did he do after he became popular, became a Freemason off y'all, idolizing him? He went right back to his own. Y'all keep getting used and abused. No wonder y'all don't want to let go of your victim card. Because at this point, you like being Stockholm syndromed. You like being the tail instead of the head. You like being these people's jackasses. You like being their entertainment. You like to be their stepping stone. So this whole situation with Charlie Kirk is laughable to me. It truly is. And I'm not going to stop. If you follow me on Instagram, I ain't going to stop. You saw me be already hot-tempered about it. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep leaning into it until all of them unfollow me and block me. Because at the end of the day, they will still run into the truth. I pray the Most High Yah will open their eyes and still see it so they can see the shame of themselves. The embarrassment. All they had to do was wait 48 hours. Wait 48 hours. That's all he had to do. Wait 48 hours and then watch us work. Watch us pick apart that ritual. It ain't like 9/11 where we had to wait 10 to 15 years. 10 to 15 years to say, okay, this is how it was fake. This is how it was a psyop. This is how it was a ritual. Now, it can't even get to 2 days before we already breaking it apart. And people, all you had to do was wait. If you loved him and liked him, all you had to do was wait to really see what it really was, and then you can put down your opinion. Now people are so embarrassed, they don't want to see the truth. Now they done reblogged and reposted. Like, oh, we feel so bad for him. He's an all-American guy. We should pray for his family and all that. Now his wife doing videos kissing his hands while he laying in some coffin or casket. Then she get up there acting like she won a war. She had his podcast studio doing a speech like she won a war. And it's so laughable and performative at this point. Before she talked, she started mumbling under her breath, but it was mumbling enough where you could hear her because she had her mic on. She goes, Jesus. And then she's like praying before she talks. And then she goes on this little rant saying, oh, all they did was strengthen her. All they did was was hype her up. And her cry as a widow is going to echo across this world like a battle cry. Man, please, and sit down. Wearing a white jacket and black shirt. Very Masonic. Ain't nobody afraid of you, afraid of the heathen. This is what they want you to think. These people got power. That's what they want. They want you to believe that they have power. They are a joke. Truly a joke. Charlie Kirk. He going to every university running his mouth. That's all he was doing, running his mouth. And there was nothing but predominantly in his crowds, white folk. What war are you going to go? What war are you going to start? As if you ain't start enough wars and enough death and destruction. Christianity is a walking death cult. How do you think that religion spread? You thought it spread by love, charity, faith, and good works? It was spread by the whip and the sword. Rape and murder. That's how it was spread. Into continents that were just fine without it. What is a curse to us be a blessing and a salvation for you? This is why a lot of Israelite camps and Israelites too have said that there is no hope for the Gentile. This is why a lot of them say that. This is why a lot of them condemn Gentiles and say there is no salvation for Gentiles because of this type of programming. You truly have to be called by Yah to actually see this for what it is and leave the religions that you grew up in. Some of you are chosen and don't understand the gravity in which you were chosen. Because he's definitely not choosing Charlie Kirks of the world. He's truly not choosing politicians who pretend they're Christians. He's choosing the lowly of this world. People who really don't have a social standing. That's what he does. He picks from the bottom. When he was looking for to set and proclaim a king out of a bloodline, he started with David. David wasn't the oldest of his brethren. He wasn't the most glorified or exalted. He was the lowly of his brethren, of his family. The Most High picked from the bottom. He picked from those who are getting overlooked every single day. That's who he picked from. Because from picking from this range, you would already discredit him. You'd be like, what ruach is in this man or in this woman? What understanding can they get? They wouldn't know. They're not on a platform. We're not seeing them and exalted to them on a TV screen. What would they know? And this is when he goes to work. This is where he puts you in places where you are to be exalted and honored by his ruach. This is when he opens your eyes to certain information, feast days, offerings, and ordinances. These are the things he exposes to you so you become a light and your light shine so everybody will take notice that it's from you from the bottom that he will bring up to the top. Acts 13, verse 22, and when he had removed him, he raised him up unto them, David, to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Yishai, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. This is the only man or only boy at that time that the Most High looked at from the bottom of his brethren, the lowliest of his house, said, this boy is a man after my own heart. And all you got to do is to know his heart is to go to Psalms 119, 10 through 18. With my whole heart have I sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Yahuwah. Teach me your statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in your precepts and have respect unto your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Gimel, deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and guard your word. Open my eyes that I might behold your wonderful and wondrous things out of your Torah. That is why he is called a man after Yah's own heart. Because it's rooted in commandments, it's rooted in statutes, it's rooted in respect and fear, and it's rooted in all of the Most High's wonderful works. That's what makes you a man after his own heart. If white Christians actually read the word, you would never even pay attention to Charlie Kirk. If you tried to be David or try to be Abraham or Yitzchak or Yaakov, you wouldn't care about Charlie Kirk. But we are in a time where sinners in their flesh need righteousness. They need to see an image of righteousness. This is why most men in this world and most women are born to be ruled over. Born to be ruled over. And some of you who have come out of religion, even in your 20s and your 30s, you weren't born to be ruled over. So that's why a lot of you started out your life being disobedient and wicked because you didn't want to be ruled over. That's why religion didn't have a hold on you like it has a hold on some other people, because you didn't want to be ruled over. You are always searching for that one thing that'll make you respect being alive a lot more than your own power. That's why a lot of us fell into being called by Yah. Because he knew we were searching for something that we would respect, searching for something that we would actually fear. Men fear not only being wrong, but men fear embarrassment. Men fear shame. Men fear being left out. So that's why they follow on the doctrines. They follow the crowd. They want to be ruled over by somebody they esteemed being more worthy than themselves. I would never understand it. Even if I lived in ancient times and I had the same ruach as I had today, I don't even know if I would be able to follow a king that wasn't a part of my own nation. I struggle enough not paying attention or even respecting my own coaches. Because I was always looking for that one thing to be like, what makes me be in a position where I need to exalt them or respect them? I was always looking for that one thing. It made me hyper aware. And if you had a somewhat respectable father, you would look at every other man that has tried to either coach you or rule over you. You would look for that one thing in them to be like, oh, they're not like my father. So I'm not going to ever listen to you or respect you. And after a while, when you grow up and you become more knowledgeable of Yah, the Heavenly Father, you'd be like, none of these men walking this earth is like the Heavenly Father. None of these men are like Yahusha. Why should I respect them? Especially if they're walking contrary to Yah and Yahusha. Oh, boy. I'm going to have a ball on Instagram. a straight up ball to show these people they are not walking with the Most High that they think they are. They are not in these scriptures like they say they are. They need to rely on Freemasons for their salvation. Talking about the Talmud, talking about the rapture, talking about dispensationalism. And that came from John Nelson Darby. And if you look up John Nelson Darby, who also the one that created the rapture doctrine, he is said to be flirting with Freemasonry, but really doesn't deny or prove that he was a Freemason. But he said, and it has quoted, saying that the Christian church should be ordered like a Masonic lodge. That he calls the Most High God the architect, which is only a term used in Freemasonry to describe Lucifer. I went through a lot of the doctrines that people say that they follow that came from his little talks, such as the covenant theology. That came from Gaspar Olivianus, another white man. Five-point Calvinism. John Calvin, another white man. John Knox, Presbyterian, another white man. Henry Jacobs, Reformed Baptist, another white man. Reformation churches and all the doctrines of Christianity came from the 16th century to the 18th century of white men, Europeans. Around the time that we were right into those curses. Coincidence? I think not. People give all their authority over to their flesh and the image of the flesh. That's why a lot of people are going to fall for this false white Jesus that they think is going to come out the sky. And as soon as you correct anybody about white Jesus, then it becomes, it's not all about race. Oh, pray for them, Father, because they think it's about race. Yet, they have never seen what the real Messiah looks like. So why they keep using, even through AI, images. Even when in Deuteronomy, it says, do not use an image which you think Yahuwah will hate. And didn't you just say about graven images? He's also said, do not set up an image which you think Yahuwah would hate. And I think Yahuwah would hate that y'all would call his son or attribute his son's message to a white European Jesus or a Grecian Jesus, and it comes from a nation that tore down the temple in the Book of Maccabees. I think he'd be really pissed about that. It ain't about just color and race. It's about the truth and about where that truth leads. Imagine you. Someone takes your mother or your father and turn them into a completely different race and then use your history of them raising you and saying that, oh, it's attributed to another racial person. A lot of you would be pissed off and wouldn't like it. For some reason, the man who died for your sins, he don't get that same respect. A lot of you would not allow somebody to call your mother or your father a different name or a different version ethnically of the name. You wouldn't like it. You know you wouldn't like it. You wouldn't want someone taking your family history and say I walked into your house and I took your photo album. And from your photo album, I painted over all your pictures to fit the image and likeness of myself. Then I would take sections of your family members and create different stories and narratives the way I want it to make it appease to me so I can feel welcome and comforted. And then I'll allow other people in my racial background or in my ethnicity to take different parts of your family members and create stories for themselves too. So everybody have a doctrine to follow. Everybody has a family member to follow. And you have no longer have any control over this image. You have no control over the narrative. A lot of you would be pissed off. Trust me. You know it and I know it. Embarrassing. This whole Charlie Kirk situation only exposed the fact that Christians do not have the Ruach HaKodesh. None of them. I've seen men get on here crying. I've seen women crying and crying defending, but they ain't crying defending righteousness. They're crying defending a man because they think filming themselves crying is some form of righteousness, some form of holiness. You set the camera up, you get ready to cry, then after you cry, you actually post and write a caption. That is a lot of emotional work to defend a Freemason. Yeah, like I said, y'all don't know what's coming. We don't truly don't know and understand what's coming. 2 Baruch chapter 44, 7 through 10. For if ye endure and persevere in his fear, and do not forget his Torah, the times shall change over you for good, and ye shall see the consolation of Zion. Because whatsoever is now is nothing, but that which is that which shall be is very great. For everything that is corruptible shall pass away, and everything that dies shall depart, and all the present time shall be forgotten. This generation and everything that's associated with it will be wiped clean. Please wipe it clean. That means religions will not last. Doctrines will not last. We will not talk about any more Calvinism. We won't talk about Martin Luther. We won't talk about any denomination of Christianity. We won't talk about Mormons or Seventh-day Adventists. All of it will be gone. Nor shall there be any remembrance of the present time which is defiled with evils. For that which runs now runs unto vanity, and that which profits shall quickly fall and be humiliated. And that's what you're seeing. You're seeing through the Ruach Yahuwah that through the manifestation of his Ruach, his truth, in a select few of us, we are being able to quickly show and humiliate those who are walking with the beast system. Because if people are fooled by this now, all you got to do is bring out the beast. All you got to do is bring the beast out, have him get a head wound, and have him miraculously come back from this head wound. And you will see it to be AI. The AI engine is going to be so good, it may even fool the elect. The miracles and wonders are going to be so good. The technology is going to be so fine-tuned. Because now they know that we know. Now they're going to go back to the labs and going to find out how they can do hands better. And now they're going to find out how to do the head wound better. So when the Antichrist comes out and gets this head wound, he's going to come back and we're going to be like, we're going to know it's AI because we know and seen the stories already. But the people who are fooled by the Charlie Kirk situation are not going to know what's going to hit them. Second Baruch 44:11-15. For that which is to be shall be the object of desire, for that which comes afterwards shall we hope. For it is a time that passes not away, and the hour comes which abides forever, and the new world comes which does not turn to corruption. Those who depart to its blessedness has no mercy on those who depart to torment, and leads not to perdition those who live in it. I'll say it again. And the hour comes which abides forever, and the new world comes, which does not turn to corruption, those who depart to its blessedness, and has no mercy on those who depart to torment, and leads not to perdition those who live in it. The Most High is not going to care. He don't care about Charlie Kirk. He's not going to care about his family. He don't care the people who follow it. You're going to depart into torment because you don't know better. For these are they who shall inherit that time which has been spoken of, and theirs is the inheritance of the promised time. These are they who have acquired for themselves treasures of wisdom, and with them are found stores of understanding, and from mercy have they not withdrawn, and the truth of the Torah have they preserved. Preserved. It didn't say do away with. It didn't say nail it to the cross. It didn't say they were done away with. Preserved. Kept. It speaks on this other brother that texted me last night who wanted to have a phone call conversation because he said he read in Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, that we aren't supposed to keep the feasts if we're not in the biblical lands, that we do not have to keep them. This is the doctrine now that's getting ready to start to go around. And it's sad because I highly respect this brother. I respect this op. He told me that from Daniel 10 started it, from verses 1 through 4. And Daniel 10 verses 1 through 4 was just about how Daniel in mourning mourned during the time where he would have participated in the Feast of Pesach. So when Daniel was in captivity, he was in mourning because of the destruction of his people, the destruction of his land, and now he's in captivity. So he did not do, which is understandable, the Feast of Pesach or the Feast of Unleavened Bread during the time of his mourning. It said that he didn't eat any pleasant bread, and he didn't drink no food, he didn't drink no wine or have any meat. But he mourned 3-4 weeks, which is understandable. I mean, Pesach is about leaving, and here he is going into captivity. It's understandable. But that's only one witness that this happened. And for some reason, he sent me this YouTube video, 2 hours long, of this one Israelite brother breaking down word for word from the Strong's to the Yiddish, trying to find ways and reasons not to do the law, statutes, commandments, not to do the feast days. There's nowhere in Scripture. If you start to hear this doctrine or see this doctrine, there is nowhere in Scripture that the Most High says, if you are in captivity somewhere or you're not in the biblical lands, don't do the feast days. There's nowhere it's written. Matter of fact, when in the books of Ezra, chapter 3, they were urged to keep the Feast of Pesach. At a time that they stopped keeping it because of disobedience and ignorance, they were made to go back into Jerusalem and to keep the feasts. The Most High wants to see us search for him. And the only way we search for him, if we use all of our knowledge and understanding to do it the right way, even if we fail at doing it. He wants to see us and grow us and approve us that we are willing to do it when he comes back. Fourth Ezra 8:57-63. Moreover, they have trodden down his righteous and said in their heart, there is no Elohim. Yeah, and knowing that they must die. For as the things I foresaid shall receive you, so thirst and pain are prepared for them. For it was not his will that men should come to naught. But they which be created have defiled the name of him that made them and were unthankful unto him which prepared life for him, for them. And therefore is my judgment now at hand. These things have I not shown unto all men, but unto you and a few like you. Then answered I and said, behold, O Yahuwah, now you have showed me the multitude of the wonders which you will begin and do in the last times. But at what time you have not showed me? He's not going to show Ezra the times because Ezra is already called up or raptured away to the Most High right now. He's already up there, not seeing death. Why? Because Ezra did it the right way. He urged his people to do the commandments, urged his people to come back to the feast days, urged his people to separate from the people of the land. Urged. Because he knows the doctrines have trodden down the righteous. The doctrines have trodden down those who are trying to do it right or made it hard for us to do it right. The doctrines. We're not in chattel slavery anymore. It's the doctrines that are now our chains. It's doctrines that are keeping us yoked to the system, along with pride, ego, and arrogance. And to know and understand what Ezra was and is, 4 Ezra chapter 8, verses 49-56, and that you have humbled yourself as it becomes you and have not judged yourself worthy to be much glorified among the righteous. For many great miseries shall be done to them in that latter time that shall dwell in the world because they have walked in great pride. But understand for yourself and seek out the glory for such as be like you. For unto you is paradise open, the tree of life is planted, the time to come is prepared, plenteousness is made ready, a city is built, and rest is allowed. Yeah, perfect goodness and wisdom. The root of evil is sealed up from you. Weakness and the moth is hidden from you. And corruption is fled into Sheol to be forgotten. Sorrows are past, and in the end is showed the treasure of immortality. And therefore ask no more questions concerning the multitude of them that perish. For when they had taken liberty, They despised the Most High, thought scorn of his Torah, and forsook his ways. Yeah, this ain't the season I'm trying to be in. I'm trying to be in a season of reaping to be the wheat. People are finding excuses to be tares. I do not get it. And that comes from trying to be something in this world. Matter of fact, everybody should have gotten their 15 minutes of fame so they could understand what fame will do to you and then reject it for the rest of your life. The fact that people haven't gone through any form of fame, now that's all they do. They're trying to mingle the truth in with their fame. And that looks ugly, especially when you start defending Charlie Kirk or defending any of these Christian Freemasons. Well, that's all you're going to see in the last days. You're going to see nothing but Christian Freemasons because they have to crash the religious system and merge it into one. Man, this place is a joke. And the people who defend it and fight for it as if America is going to go back to the old days. And I think what they want is America to return to the period of the 90s. They want the euphoric feeling and sensation of the 90s, where they felt everything was going good. Everything was vibrant. Everything was on the up and up. That's what they want. They want the late 80s and the early 90s back. It is never coming back. Never. They got to knock out the middle class into the lower class into poverty, and poverty end up on purge. End up on a purge session where they just killing them or using them as bait for some other Masonic ritual that's coming that needs mass death. That's what they want. They want to get you into universal basic income. So everybody will be making the same exact money. So there won't be no lower to middle class income. It won't be no higher class income. It will be the ultra rich and everybody else. That's how they're making it. That's how they're making it. And they got to use religion to do it because they know religion is a doctrine that controls weak minds. Religion is made for people to be ruled over. That's why they have been using it since the days of Europe, since the days of the monarchies. That's why they use it. That's why they established it. That's why they got into one of the editing the Bible, because they knew people were stupid enough to go just follow anything. And thankful and glad and blessed are we that we are a people that no longer want to be controlled or ruled over, unless if it's by the Most High himself. So a lot of these problems comes from people being illiterate to the Ruach HaKodesh, illiterate to scripture. Because no way in the world you would be idolizing somebody when the scriptures say never to do it. Where it says those who put their trust or confidence in men are accursed. It says that you are cursing yourselves when you put confidence in man. Especially when that man has shown you multiple times through his little hand placement that he a Freemason. You really got to be blind and dumb or stupid to not actually see it. Not see that everybody has been talking about these Masonic symbolisms, and you never once catch it on your scrolling and to not see it out of your own person you idolize. Really weird. But all in all, it was a beautiful Pesach for me. It was truly a blessing. It rained here almost every single day, so I had to play jump rope with the rain and making sure the wood didn't get wet, making sure everything burnt to, you know, where it was supposed to be burned at. I combined fir with the cedar. So I had some cedar sticks and some fir wood, and it actually does smell good together. So now I'm becoming a wood mixologist, trying to get that different smell, a different scent, the different savor or flavor to go up into the heavens. But that's what I'm focusing on. That's what I'm focusing on. So now I'm getting ready for next week, a new moon. That's going to be the second month. That's what I'm doing, because it's by the new moon, as in Enoch 78, chapter 4, Enoch chapter 78, verse 14 states that we are supposed to follow the new moon, and that goes back to Numbers 10, Numbers 15, and then Numbers 28, because new moons are looked at as a Shabbat. So that's how the calendar is set. Regardless of what season or what month you're in, those are ordinances. And you should be doing those ordinances. You can't just be just doing a solar calendar and not doing those ordinances, because, like I said, you're missing out on important feast days and days of remembrance that are talked about in the Book of Jubilees. But I'm just repeating myself. You do what you want. Like I said, to be a man after Yah's own heart, you go to all of what David is and what David said and what David did. And he will tell you and show you. It was seeking after those commandments, those statutes, and making sure he was following everything up to the best of his ability to show and approve himself to Yah. And he already knew he was picked out and chosen by Yah. Like usually you hear a man after your own heart, you usually just be like, oh, okay, I don't have to work. I didn't have to do much. I just slayed a giant, a bear, and a lion. I really don't have to do much else. If I had known to be the man after Yah's own heart, I really don't have to do too much. But the fact that his heart allowed him to keep seeking Yah, even after knowing his title and after knowing the term of endearment placed upon him, he still sought after Yah. Even when he was repenting, he was constantly in repentance and fear of Yah. That's what made him the man after Yah's own heart. So I don't know what else is going to happen after this. It's got to be a civil war. It's got to be something else that's going to come that's going to be fake. Just like that girl, the Ukrainian girl who was stabbed on the bus. Come to find out, the picture that they used of her was already using in Ukraine of a nurse that died in war or died in battle or whatever, or like a hospital blew up. They used the same picture, or the same image of that girl. And this happened already. And this was circulating on Facebook. I happened to find it and I posted it on my Instagram in the story of of this woman already being used. So, yeah, there's no way in the world that a black man get on the bus and he, for no apparent reason, he uses a little pocket knife, a little switchblade knife, and just stabs this woman. And people behind him, you don't see anything. Everybody's on their phones. Everything is made up, man. It's made up. These people do not have control over their narratives anymore. They don't even have the control over their image or what they do. They literally are just being used by demons. And that's why we think this place is a matrix, or this place is a simulation, is because everybody's moving very robotic-like. Everybody's moving, regardless of how many 33s and 666s that they use, they still keep using it, knowing that we know they can't help themselves but still use it. That's how I know they simulating everything. Everything is just going as planned. Nothing is going to change. We are still going into the Antichrist. We're still going into the beast system. We're still going into people getting marked and chipped. It's going there. And the more you see this world from the outside of it and just looking at all the wonderful things that Yah has did, you can separate Satan's world with Yah's world. And it's literally like watching this world outside of a fishbowl. But you're within the fishbowl, if that makes sense to you. Like, we're in Yah's world, but we're looking at a completely different world from the outside. You know what they should have shown in the Matrix movies? It should have shown Neo arguing with somebody in the Matrix who didn't want to leave. They should have made that a scene. But the thing is also, he never did. He never bumped into somebody and say, hey, you know, this is the Matrix. You might even want to come on out. He would literally go in and out trying to destroy the Matrix, not necessarily trying to save people from it. Like you said, the guy, Mouse or whatever his name was, Squirrel or Mouse, he said, I didn't save you. You came and found, you found me. You found me. That's what saved you. I didn't free you. You freed yourself by finding me. I would love to have seen a scene of him arguing, because it would have been so crystal clear of Neo arguing with somebody from the Matrix and why they needed to come out of it. But there's also those who want to go back in the Matrix after seeing what this truth is. I mean, this truth is pretty, but it's heart-wrenching. Because it's forcing you to give up the things that you love the most. It's forcing you to give up an image of yourself. It's forcing you to be hated amongst your peers and your family members. It's forcing you to change everything about, almost everything about yourself, to become like a child again, to relearn and re-educate and re-edify yourself and doing it the proper way. Not many people are strong enough to do that. So hats off to you guys that took on the challenge. Took on the challenge. And you didn't even need the Most High to turn your life all the way upside down for you to understand it either. People who are going to come in this generation, if they haven't been awakened yet, it's going to be another wave of them awakening during all of this destruction. And you're going to see them actually pour out. That's going to be another witness. Another witness is us already seeing what's going to happen to this world and us seeing people really turning over, like, I need to find Yah. Somebody, you're going to see people pleading online. Tell me and teach me how to find Yah. Tell me, teach me how to praise and worship. I don't want to go through this anymore. We are going to see those videos. I guarantee you, if they don't shut down the internet during that point, we are going to see and witness young people being turned over, old people being turned over, trying to find Yah and wanting people who are in the know of the called out assembly, yearning for people to be touched and edified and taught and preached to find out Yah. A lot of people are going to have that next awakening during a wave of trials and tribulation. They need to be purged. And we are blessed that we are already prepared for the season of trials and tribulations because we already went through it in our earlier life. We know how to handle it. We know how to be steady. And we built our houses upon a rock. So we are ready for this war. Not the war that they are preparing for, but we're ready for the real spiritual war. I see y'all Thursday.